Record high temperatures this winter have some people sweating about climate change. Weather isn't the same as climate, but 60 and 70 degree days in late February broke records all over the Northeast, and it's part of an overall trend of more record high temperatures than lows. We asked some people in downtown Pittsburgh what they think of balmy winter days. Heath Cameron called it heavenly.
I'll take warm weather in February any year, and in January, and in December. Anything above 50, closer to 90 is even better. I have concerns about global warming, but if this is the effect of it in this area, then that's okay.
But Aaron McCormick said a 70-degree day last week was just strange.
Although I do enjoy temperatures being warmer and I enjoy being able to be outside, I do think that it's a wake-up call. What's it going to be like years from now? How bad is it going to get? You know, are the glaciers going to melt in Antarctica? And then what?
Well, fears about the uncertainty of climate change were on Michael Swoboda's mind recently. He's a former bookseller and now a writing professor at the George Washington University. And he compiled a reading list about climate and psychology for Yale Climate Connections, kind of a climate change information clearinghouse. I talked with Swoboda by phone about some of the titles on the list.
Well, I love the subheadings that you've given the list. The first is denial, depression, melancholia. Which of the books from that group stand out for you?
So if I had to sort these over again, I might do it somewhat differently. But in this list, there are books addressing the anxiety provoked by climate change and strategies that people may adopt to respond to that anxiety. And so the first deals with denial.
Living in denial, climate change, emotions, and everyday life. That's by Carrie Marie Norgaard. The winter of 2000-2001, the first snowfall came 2 months late, made ice fishing very impossible. The ski industry had to respond and make artificial snow. She describes the people there as being, you know, politically savvy, people who understand the concept of climate change, but they were in a state of denial that this was happening.
Mm-hmm. If you can't think of a way to solve the problem, you may ignore that it exists. And this is Norwegians who kind of, in this case, somewhat depend on cold weather for their livelihoods. We're nevertheless overlooking the changes in their climate. The other two are broader. I'd say the third, environmental melancholia, is an attempt to deal with the sorrow that someone might feel that the world that they knew, the nature that they knew, is changing, that our relationship with nature is changing in a way that can be discomforting and also may entail more responsibility than previously.
That book is Environmental Melancholia, Psychoanalytic Dimensions of Engagement, with Renee Lertzman.
Right. So she's going to argue that we need to go through a period of mourning before we're going to be able to sort of enact a new relationship with nature. So if I had to sort of regroup this list into psychological concerns, I would say there are four basic psychological concerns that are being addressed. And in many cases, some of these books are dealing with all of them. Some are dealing more with one over the other. Mm-hmm. But there's first the cognitive psychological concern, which is, why do we have such a hard time thinking about climate change? And that's been out there for a while. Climate change communicators have recognized that climate change is exactly the opposite to the kind of problems that our brains are wired to respond to quickly, immediately, and decisively. It's remote, it's distant in time, it's slow. And then there are ways that we can fool ourselves into ignoring a problem with various kinds of avoidance mechanisms. Then there's the problem of anxiety. What happens if you actually acknowledge that this is a reality, but it's a reality that's hard to do something about and actually depends on a lot of other people besides yourself? And you have to figure out how you're going to stay sane, stay confident, stay active in the face of what could seem an overwhelming and insurmountable problem. Then there's trauma. And this is, people who have gone through an extreme weather event like Hurricane Sandy, those people are left with genuine trauma and have to figure out how they're going to work through that, the real destruction of their lives and the realization that nature can be a force of that much destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, there's a kind of eco-psychology angle, and we've touched on that a little bit, which is basically to say that contemporary Western technologized society has cut us off from nature, and so we don't consider it a part of our world. We don't consider it as having an ethical claim on us, and we consequently overlook when we are doing things to it that will ultimately rebound to our own damage.
Well, some of these books are geared towards psychologists or people with a scientific background.
Right.
But if you don't know much about Jung or object relations, which of these titles is really accessible for the general reader?
Coming of Age at the End of Nature, A Generation Faces Living on a Changed Planet was a book put together by Trinity University Press where they asked young people how they were thinking about the problem of climate change and how they were integrating it into their own lives and into their politics, all millennials.
And so is there a marked difference between what they're saying and what others have said in the past about facing climate change?
I think there's a greater acceptance of it as a problem. There's probably more optimism, possibly due just to the optimism of youth. I think they've been exposed to this long enough that they see that there are ways of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that if you have your own climate anxiety, but is there a book on this list that especially resonated for you?
Well, I'm intending to, and like any good bookseller, I can talk about things I have not yet read. that's part of the job. But I intend to dig deep into and write about The Great Derangement, Climate Change and the Unthinkable, which basically is an argument that we need to do a major rethink of our relationship with nature and as a consequence of our relationship with other cultures around the world.
That's by Amitav Ghosh?
Yeah, who's an Indian novelist.
Yeah, in the copy that was provided by the publishers for that book, that starts with, "Are we deranged?"
Yeah. Yep.
And I
would answer, yeah.
You know, initially when I reached out to you about talking about this list, I was very surprised at how many titles there are on the topic of psychology and mm-hmm. climate change. I guess, is this a growing field of research? And also, you know, is it a surprise that there are so many titles that you can put in a list like this?
I was surprised. The cynical answer to the question would be we have a problem that we're going to be living with pretty much hereafter. And so every discipline is at some point going to grapple with it. And that means we're going to have more and more books from more and more specialized angles about climate change.
Is that the cynical one?
That's the cynical one.
What's the positive one? we're embracing all of our emotions for this topic.
The positive one is there is a recognition that dealing with climate change is as much a social, psychological, behavioral problem as it is a scientific/technological problem. And so we are getting books that are dealing with the human psyche as a big part of the equation of climate change. And that is both how do you get humans to change their behavior, which is a good thing. And on the other side, there's a growing recognition that this is already happening and it is having impacts. I think both sides of that equation are a much more realistic assessment of where we are and what we need to do. And therefore, it's a good sign that there are these books coming out.
Michael Swoboda is an assistant professor of writing at the George Washington University, where he teaches environmental communication. You can find a link to his suggestions for books about climate and psychology and some of his other reading lists at our website, alleghenyfront.org. This is The Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.